Amen. As believers, whether fathers, mothers, children, as believers, we're going to win. Amen. Praise God. Don't give up on victory. Amen. Once again, so good to have everybody here, all our visitors. And also like to say, I heard the ladies had a wonderful night last night, the mother-daughter banquet. Appreciate those that put the hard work into that event. It was a wonderful time. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures to the Old Testament, Judges chapter 4, we're going to be reading a few verses there. And we're also going to read a verse from chapter 5 of the book of Judges. Amen. Could you stand this morning for the reading of God's word? We'll begin reading with verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had Sisera had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Things were bad. A savior's needed, a help is needed. Verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding, this is verse 9, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah, here's the word I want you to notice, and Deborah arose. She arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And then in chapter 5, after a great victory was won, and there's a song about that, it says in verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, here it is again, I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. So a mother said, it's enough, and rose up. I said, a mother said, it's enough, and rose up. I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, when moms arise. I'm not saying when they rise and protest and say, no more cooking, no more cleaning, no more. It's going to be a little different than that. But when moms rise up. Amen. Father, on this special occasion, may we sense the Holy Spirit, your Spirit at work amongst us. Lord, I pray not only encourage our women this day, Lord, challenge them. Lord, we thank you for the people of God. We thank you for Jesus that makes reality in our hearts of hope, of eternal things, of triumph and victory ahead. Now, Lord, bind us together as a congregation. May our hearts be open to what you want to do spiritually for us this morning. Incline our hearts to you, God, in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. You may be seated. Some years before I took the pastorate here, we were holding a revival in eastern Pennsylvania, right on the edge of the Appalachian Trail. And I was there on one occasion. The pastor said, tomorrow, do you want to go up on, let's hike a segment of the Appalachian Trail? And I said, well, that sounds good. And then I started, you know, kind of teasing, but I thought it'd be nice. I said, you know, tomorrow I want to see a bear. Yeah. And he kept telling me, he said, you know, I've been hiking this segment of the Appalachian Trail, and I've never seen a bear. I said, oh, tomorrow we're going to see a bear. We're going to see a bear. Said the same thing the next day. We got up early. We're going to see a bear. We climbed up way up on the top of the mountain there. We were going through a little low place, and it was full of, not mulberries, that's Oklahoma. Help me out here. Blueberries, full of blueberries there. And we're walking along the trail, and all of a sudden, this mother with cubs, we saw her there just a few feet off the trail eating those blueberries. Well, when she saw us, she started to saunter off. And I've hunted, and sometimes when an animal is running or whatever, you can whistle and they'll stop. So I whistled, and that old mother bear, she stopped, and she got up on her hind legs, and she's looking at us. Yeah. And that pastor had been in front of me. Suddenly, he was behind me. And he was tapping me on the shoulder saying, don't antagonize her.
Don't antagonize her.
Well, it wasn't a real comfortable thing to encounter a mother bear in those circumstances. How many knows that even humanly speaking, a mother's fierce instinct to protect her children from any perceived danger is often likened to that fierceness of a bear? Amen. It's captured by the imagery of that mother bear rising up on her hind legs, and she's snarling. She's got her teeth bare, and she's got her claws extended, and she's waving her arms. You don't mess with my offspring. The fierceness of a mother to protect her children. Now, I know that seems a little odd, but when I read this text this week, of Deborah arising against the enemies of Israel, when it said, I, Deborah, a mother in Israel, arose, I got this imagery of this mother bear that is going to protect her offspring. You see, Deborah, like a mother bear, rose up against a formidable foe, a formidable enemy. But she rose up because she was tired of this invading army enslaving her people, beating down her people, decimating her people, making the lives of her people miserable. And I want you to know, you understand this, but there's no wrath like a mother's wrath when she rises up to protect her own. Amen. I've never seen my wife so dangerous as when somebody hurt one of our children. It scared me. Amen. A mother's wrath when she rises up to protect her offspring. You let a mom observe her children be insulted. You let a mom see her children approached by a menacing stranger. I don't care how big he is. You let a mother observe that her children are being bullied or especially threatened by a pervert's attention, and a true mother will fly at that one with a fighting anger. What are you trying to say? I said a mother will rise up. I said a mother will rise up. And all of those are just social and physical scenarios. But I want to tell you, it's the same way spiritually. You let a godly mother feel, a godly mother see her children face spiritual danger, and that godly mother will feel something rise up in her, and she will rise up, and she with the same fierce fighting anger will make a stand against that which has threatened her children spiritually, that which has threatened her child's soul. She'll rise up. Amen. You know it's a phenomenon. You know it's true. Moms will rise up. I just did a quick search. I typed in the words mom against and let it give me the choices. Here's some of the things that came up. Moms against gaming. Not one amen. Moms against gaming. Moms against abuse. Moms against violence. Moms against gangs. Moms against cooties. Moms against suicide. Moms against Deadpool. Now, I won't take time to explain that. Hey, amen. Thank God when moms rise up and say, not my children. Amen. I'm not going to let it happen. Oh, aren't you glad when moms rise up? Moms rise up against the sexuality and violence in video games and on televisions. Moms that rise up against immodest fashions that invite fleshly attentions. Moms that rise up a particular brand of Christianity that says you can be a young person and still fornicate and be involved in. Oh, I'm just talking about moms that will rise up against sin and world and Satan. Anything that would threaten the soul of her children. I know sometimes kids get to the age they have a mind of their own. And I tell you, children, you can invite things in your life, but I can't tell you that your mom's not going to rise up against it and say, no, no way, because a mom's got that protective instinct within her heart to rise up against what endangers her child. I know there's anomalies. I know there's some moms so into their careers, so into their education, so into the pursuit of pleasure, so into romantic relationships. Moms so much into themselves that they show almost no concern for their child's well-being and wholesomeness of soul. Man, they may make sure their kids have clothes and shoes, but they never show any concern about that child's eternal soul. There's other anomalies. There's moms who thinks it's love to tolerate wrong things and habits and sins that come into their child's life. Oh, I just love them. I know they're wrong. I know my child's doing them, but I love them. Amen. That's an anomaly. There's other moms that when their kids become teenagers, they try to be cool. They try to be a friend of their teenagers, and they even encourage their child's propensities and curiosities and involvements in sin. There's other anomalies. There's mothers who even enable their children. They buy immodest clothes for their girls. They buy beer for their boys. They buy music that's the rot of this world. Amen. But those are anomalies. You show me in most cases a mom that's been born again, a mom that's had a work of God in her heart, and when she sees spiritual danger come at her child, she's going to rise up like Deborah did. Amen. The real sign, I believe, of the utter decadence of our society is that mothers are losing that instinctual love for protecting their children. Have you noticed? Amen. I'm going to give you some things here, and each one of these are just some general memories of articles I've read in the paper over the last few years. See if you don't remember some of these. I'm talking about mothers. Mothers losing that instinctual ability, that instinctual desire to protect their children. Here's some of those. A mother leaves her toddler in the car to apply for a position in a strip club. A mother leaves her children in a filthy house without food, but with feces everywhere as she goes out to do drugs. A mother leaves her young children at home to go partying and drinking all night, and those children are burned to death in that home. A mother leaves her children to the filth of television and gaming and internet browsing and never checks. A mother surrenders her children to the influence of the world's fashions and trends. Amen. We've seen all of that. Amen. The loss in our society. It's a disturbing, it's unnatural, amen, for a mother to lose that desire and that instinct. She overrides it. She numbs it. She rids herself of it. But thank God there's still moms that know what it is to rise up and make a stand, amen, against the perceived threats against their children. Amen. I remember when I was not quite two, living in Oklahoma, my mom's dad, my grandfather in Oregon, northern Oregon, died. And my mom and I rode the Greyhound bus to his funeral. And you say you're pretty young, but I can remember distinct things about that bus trip and about the funeral. But one thing I remember so distinctly that I even 20 years later was able to give details of it. Even there at my grandmother's house, and one of my uncles volunteered to take me to get a haircut. And my mom, that was her brother, she said, okay, take him to get a haircut. And we got our haircut. I got my haircut. But he didn't go straight home. And I remember, first of all, knowing something wasn't right here. He took me to the bar. So yes, your pastor's been to a bar, but I wasn't quite too. And to this day, I remember sitting on the bar stool there at that bar, and that bartender and all of them laugh at me because they thought it was really funny to ask me what I wanted to drink. So what do you have today? And I looked up and said, orange. And they laughed. They thought that was funny. Well, my uncle didn't laugh long because when we got back to Grandma's house, Mom knew it took too long. And she came out of the door flying at him, where you been? The pheasant. That's where we were. The pheasant. She came tearing out there, and he threw up his hands. He said, wait, sis, wait, sis, wait, sis. I didn't let him have a drink. It didn't much matter to her. She rose up She rose up. Amen. I remember another time on vacation, we were at my cousin's house in Portland, Oregon. My cousin, another male cousin about my age, we went down to the park. About five or six guys, they jumped on us from that neighborhood. We fought, we scrapped with them, and one of them took a shoe, and a rubber-soled shoe, and just hit my cousin just right in the back. There's whop, immediately there's a huge welt. Well, we went home, and I knew my aunt, and he knew his mom. He told his mom and showed his mom. I mean, right then, the anger was in her face. She was a short, thin thing. She said, get in the station wagon. That tells you about when this was. Get in the station wagon. She drove us down to the park. Those guys were still there. She came out of that car. She was giving them whop for, and I was sure glad I was on her side and not on their side. The way I'm telling you, there's something about a mom that will rise up, and you understand all these natural situations. But don't you think it's time that moms rise up about the spiritual danger that's threatening young people and say, not my children, not my children. I don't want my children another casualty of this world. I don't want my children another casualty of sin and wickedness. I want my children to serve God, make it to heaven one day. And if I see a threat to my children's soul, I'm going to rise up. Amen. I read this text because that's what Deborah did. She saw the consequences of her people's sin. She saw how the foreign invaders came in and enslaved her people. She saw the misery and she saw the pain and she rose up. I have a question this morning. What kind of mother is a woman who does not want her children to serve the Lord? Amen. I've seen that time when a woman would say to her children that maybe they came back from youth camp on fire for God, and mom would kind of say, now tone it down, you don't have to be fanatical. Or a young person begins to get some convictions of, I don't want to go here, I don't want to do that, and mom will rise up and say, oh, that's unnecessary. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of mother would not want her child to serve the Lord? What kind of mother would not want her child even to stay out of this world? Deborah rose up. Even she saw the condition of her people. Even some mothers care little about their child's soul because they're all into their own hairstyle. Other mothers care little about their children's soul because they're all into pay equity and career and all those political things. Amen. But the most important things is to be like Deborah and rise up and say, sin has come in, sin is destroyed, and I will rise up. Amen. I know some of us men may have a problem before we get through with this message, but I want you to know the witness of history is many times when society has become wicked, many times when society has been overrun with alcohol and different moral problems, it was not a man, but it was a woman like Deborah that would rise up. Amen. I don't want it to be that way with my children. And I'm not suggesting this, but close to my part of the country was where that lady, Carrie Nation, she had enough of that drinking and destroying. Hey, people of her community, and she got her a hatchet and headed for the bars. I'm not advocating that you'll get me in trouble, thrown in jail. Amen. I'm not talking about placards and boycotts. I'm talking about spiritually to arise. Amen. As a woman of God. Amen. To rise up. Amen. Years ago, I read a book about a man from Iran came to the States and he married a lady. They had a child. He took her ostensibly back home to Iran to visit his family. When they got there, he imprisoned his wife and daughter, and she began to make moves, secretive moves, to try to find a way to get out of the country. And different tour guides, those that led people who wanted to escape the country, they had to go through the mountains. Different ones said to her, we can get you out, but not your daughter. We can get you out, but not your daughter. And time after time, she'd go to different one of these, and whatever they call them there, that ferret people out from the danger out of Iran. And every time they said, no, you're going to have to leave your daughter here. We can get you out, but the journey's too hard for your daughter. And every time she answered them the same way. She said, not without my daughter. Not without my... Oh, that's what a godly mother says. I want to make it to heaven. I intend on going going to heaven, but I want to take my children too. Amen. Not without my children, I'm going to rise up. They be a part of that. Some moms find it easier to be naive than to rise up. Some mothers are naive and say, not my kid. My kid's not doing that. My kid's not involved in that. Amen. Some are naive. Amen. You know, used to, a mother only had to protect. Hear me across the building. I don't want to lose you in everything I'm saying. But used to, a mother only had to protect her children, a Christian mother, from the influences of the world. And I know you're aware of this. I'm talking about being naive. But did you know in so much of what is called Christianity in America, the influences on young people in those circles is just as wrong, just as vile, just as wicked as the influences in the world. I'm a believer in Christian education. We had a school here for years. I've been principal of a Christian school. But I'm telling you, we are at the place in America where you can go into many, many Christian schools and the influences of sin and wickedness and habits and vileness is as real under that heading Christian school as anywhere else. Amen. Are you trying to make things hopeless? No, I think it's time that Christian women, Christian mothers arise and not be naive and say we are going to make a stand against those things that would destroy. I mean, you say, well, you're just old fashioned. No, I'll tell you, it disturbs me when you look at youth pastors and they look just like the pop singers. Amen. Their appearance, and that is what's leading our young. I'm not talking about Brother Brian. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They call it Christian, but ever influence is just as wicked as this world around it. Amen. A mom that's not naive, she says it may call itself Christian, but it's a threat to my child, and I will rise up. Oh, how many knows what I'm preaching about? Hallelujah. I read this week that in Christianity now, one of the fads is these special meetings called Bible and Beer. Shamelessly advertised. Come drink your beer as we study the Bible. It's acceptable for young people, Christian young people, to lie and to cheat. No. Godly moms say no. You see, why did Deborah rise up? Because something rose up in her. Oh, she knew God. She knew right. And she rose up because something rose up in her. It was a result of their sinful choices, yes, that the children of Israel found themselves in that miserable slavery of foreign invaders. It was their fault. I want to tell you, sometimes it is the child's fault, but that doesn't stop the mother from rising up for the safety of her child's soul. A mom that raises up to protect her children this evil age, from this corrupting environment in which they live, from the invading devil, from the ravages of sin, must, like Deborah, and I'm about through, but I want to leave this with you. Like Deborah, if you're going to be a mom that rises up, you need these to be these things. First of all, Deborah was a godly woman. You can protect your children against a lot of physical and mental and social dangers, but you cannot protect your child against spiritual dangers, mom, unless you yourself serve God and live for God and walk with God. Mom, you can't fight wrong in your child's life if there's wrong in your life. Mom, you can't fight against the forces, rise up against the forces of hell, unless you know that you have the forces of heaven behind you. Amen. Moms, you can't expect your children to be all-out followers of Christ if you are not an all-out follower of Christ. Deborah was a godly woman. That way, because of that, it meant something when she rose up. It said something. She wasn't just a godly woman, and some would equate the two, but she was a spiritual woman. In verse 4 I read to you, it says, Deborah, a prophetess. A prophet. What is a prophetess? I mean, we could talk about that all day. But a prophetess is a woman in whom the Spirit is at work. That's what a prophetess was. It's a woman in whom the Spirit is at work. She heard from God. You know why she heard from God? You know why God talked to her? Because she had been talking to God. It works that way. When people, this message this morning is for mothers. When mothers talk to God, God talks to mothers. Amen. The Spirit was at work in here. Amen. Women more quick to respond to the Spirit. Amen. Those are the women that rise up. Amen. Moms that are quick to let the Holy Spirit move in them and share a word with them for their families, for their church, for their children. Amen. Not only was she a godly woman and a spiritual woman, she was a courageous woman. I know this isn't a political statement, it's just where we're at, but I know chauvinistic men have never liked this story of Deborah. They don't like it because the Bible clearly says she was a judge in Israel. She had leadership ability. And chauvinistic men have trouble accepting that. Amen. But you know the underlying thing is, yes, Deborah was a judge. Yes, Deborah made decisions for the nation. Yes, Deborah led in valley, in battle. But the underlying message is here is because men wouldn't. I mean, she did everything she could to even try to talk Barak, the leader of the army, of getting involved in this enterprise. It's not Father's Day yet, so we can leave that over to the side, Brother Wilson. Amen. All I want to say is, amen, for Deborah to rise up and take a position that normally a man would have filled, for her to rise up against an invading army of 900 chariots of iron. If you read chariot in the Bible, you've got to think tank today. Amen. That was a tank. That was an armored vehicle. 900 tanks coming against the people of God. It took courage for her to arise. But I'm telling you, Deborah arose because she was courageous. Amen. Courageous. She made a stand for her country. Courageous. She made a stand for her home. She made a stand for her family. Courageous. She even called Barak and said, come, bring the army. Get involved. I'm telling you, godly women arise. Spiritual women arise because they're courageous. They're not intimidated. They know the danger, but they're not intimidated. They're not going to back down. They're not going to give ground. Amen. They're going to rise up. Amen. And stand against the enemy of home and marriage and children and church and nation. What a courageous stand. But not only was she a godly woman, spiritual woman, a courageous woman, she was a believing woman. Did you catch that when I read that? Look at verse 9. I'll start the verse and then jump to where I want to go. She said, I will surely go with thee. Amen. But she said, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of the woman. That's not presumption. She's been living godly. The Spirit's been moving through her. She's courageous. She's not going to back down. And all of that is because here is a woman that believes God. Amen. 900 chariots. Amen. Remember, those chariots were always there with the infantry. We're not told how big the infantry was. We just know there were 900 chariots of iron. That means a huge infantry. Amen. She stands up against them. She has courage because the battle's not yet been engaged. The battle's not yet been fought. But she's heard from the Lord and she has a faith in her heart that she and the armies of Israel are going to overcome the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. I know the enemy looks formidable many times, but could I remind our mothers this morning, you can believe God because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Don't you think it's time to make a stand believing God to bring the victory, to bring in God to give victory over the enemy of our homes and families and churches? Oh, she believed what God can do. She believed what God will do. Moms, amen, be like Deborah. Believe God. When those moments come of difficulty with our children, as they always do, and we become alarmed, things get difficult. As godly women, spiritual women, courageous women, amen, don't listen to the lies of Satan and despair. But turn your heart to God and believe him for the victory and rise up. Moms, rise up. You're preaching rebellion, preacher.
No. Moms, rise up. Not against your husbands. Moms, rise up. Amen. Not against your God-given roles, but rise up against the enemy of your home. Rise up against the killer of your children. Rise up against the enslaver of your loved ones. Amen. I said earlier, and what your political leanings are, that's your private business. Amen. But I'm not talking about rising up, charting a bus to Washington, D.C., carrying a placard. I'm talking about raising up, rising up in prayer, rising up, praying until your prayer reaches an intercessory level where you don't give up on your children. You don't give up on your marriage. You don't give up on your church. You don't give up on righteousness. You rise up. So because something has risen in you, you say, I will pray. I will seek God. I will believe God until something happens. Rise up and worship. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If you're despairing of things that's happening in your family, amen, don't give in to the despair and come to church and feel the weight of it and just be cowed down. But as a mother, rise up. There's a battle going on for your home. But I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to sing living by faith. Rise up. Amen. And worship our God. Rise up and pray. Amen. Rise up. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Moms, rise up. Just like Deborah. Oddly, I can mention his name and some of you would know him. But the evangelist I got saved under years later came preach revival at the Bible school I was attending. And he's a real tall fellow, and he's got a real deep voice. Before he preached this revival, I can't remember. It was either 21 days or 30 days or 40 days. It was an extended fast. For that revival, he had been on this extended fast. It was one of the greatest revivals we had there. I'll never forget one night. He got up to preach and took his suit jacket off, and it's a larger church than this, so the baptistry was probably twice the distance behind him. And he took that jacket off. He said, I'm mad at the devil. He went like this. And then he grips. Now remember, I got to stop to describe this. The suit jacket's making an arc through the air. And as it's going through the air, he grabs a pulpit like this. And he said, I'm mad at that devil. The only trouble was people had a hard time focusing on what he was saying because everyone's watching the suit jacket. And they had a glass front to that thing, and that thing landed like this on that glass front and then slithered in like this. And the whole time he never stopped. He said, I'm mad at the devil. I want to tell you, we got every reason to be angry at Satan. Look around. Look around. See what he's done. The damage he's inflicted. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, it'd be great if some moms don't wave the white flag of surrender. Don't say, well, it can't be fought. I'll just accept. Oh, for moms to rise up and say, I'm angry at the enemy of our soul. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't use the word mad because literally mad means foaming at the mouth. We use it for angry. But it's okay to be angry at Satan. Amen. Amen. To rise up in anger. And I got to thinking about this. I'm not starting a club. I'm not doing any of that. It's just a way to end the sermon. But moms, I'm going to ask you to join this group this morning. Having heard this message about Deborah, would you join this group? I call it MAD. We got the picture for it? MAD. How many mothers? You say, well, my kids are already gone. That doesn't mean you have to stop fighting for them. Some of you are fighting for your grandkids. There's no paper to sign this morning. There's no ritual. There's no rite. But I wonder how many godly, spiritual, courageous, believing moms are willing to join MAD this morning. I know you've read it. I haven't told you. but you've read it. Moms against the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What about it? What about it? You say, well, my kids have been gone from home for years. Yeah, but you can still fight the enemy. Amen. You can still pray. You can still intercede before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what about it? Amen. I said no rights, but I want to, do we have any moms that begin to stand across the building and say, I'll be a part of man. I'll be a part of man. I'll be a part of man. Moms against the devil. I said, Deborah rose up because something rose up in Deborah. Hallelujah. Does any mom feel something rising up within you? Not despair, but belief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you do one more thing? Would you do one more thing, moms? Every mom in the house, if you would, if you're able, would you come and stand across the front this morning? I mean, you can even kneel if you'd like to kneel. But would you come, moms? We just want to pray for you. I want to make sure there's room for families to get near you. Some of you have family here. Some of you don't. Amen. Amen. They're out of state somewhere else. Moms, would you come? Would you step as close as you can? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for these moms. Thank God for these mothers. Godly mothers. Amen. Godly mothers. Step as close as you can to the front so folks can come behind you. Hallelujah. I want folks to pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Or this morning, excuse me. Amen. Just come as close as you can. Hallelujah. Mad. Amen. Moms against the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see, is anyone tired of surrendering ground? Is anyone tired of seeing Satan take young people captive at his will? Hallelujah. Deborah arose. Amen. Church, would you stand? Amen. If your wife is here, if you can get close to her, you may have to make your way up on the platform. There's a way down here, me and you can get on the platform. If your wife is one in the first row, amen. Would you come, dads? Would you come, children? Your mom, your grandmother's here. Would you come, dads and children? Hallelujah. I know. I don't have it wrong. I know the husband, the dad, is the leader of the home. But that has nothing to do with moms rising up against the devil. Hallelujah. Get in as close as you can. Amen. Some of you men, if you need to come up on the platform, there's an opening down here on this side. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't forget one thing I didn't preach. There was victory. I said there was victory. 900 chariots of steel, that meant nothing. All those infantry men, that meant nothing. And before the day was over with, Israel was free. The homes were free. The children were free. Amen. Because Deborah rose. Amen. Would you pray for your mom, your wife right now? And moms, would you lift your hands and say, I'm making a stand. I'm making a stand. I'm making a stand. I'm rising up. I'm rising up. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The world knows nothing of this, of that spiritual thing that rises up in your heart, the spiritual concern, the spiritual burden, the spiritual desire for the salvation of your home, the salvation of your children, grandchildren. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord.
I can
bless your name, Lord.
In my
bless
secret
your name,
place.
Oh,
calling on your name.
Hallelujah.
There's something I can do.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, I can pray.
I can pray.
Until
I
the
can
walls
pray.
Come down.
I can pray.
Till there's healing
I can pray.
All around.
I can pray. After all, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
On your name, there's something I can do.
Hallelujah. I can pray.
I can pray.
Oh, let's bind together as a family of God.
I can
hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's Mother's Day, but we're in this together. We're in this together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Something I
oh, we're in this together.
Do.
family.
I can pray.
Our marriage.
In my secret place.
Our people.
Calling on your name. There's something I can do.
Hallelujah.
I can pray.
Hallelujah.
I can pray.
Hallelujah.
Till the
Hallelujah.
Walls come down.
Families, let mom know, your wife know. How much you appreciate their being a godly mother, being a godly wife, a spiritual woman. Let them know that. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, wife.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless
you. There's something I can do. I can pray.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like to linger in prayer. Amen. These altars are open. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, the first thing you need to do is to arise and come to the cross. Come to Him. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll find a place for you to pray in this altar this morning if you need Jesus. And you will need Him for your family. You will need Him for your marriage. Hallelujah. Would you like to come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship You. Thank You for these women. Bless these moms. Bless these wives. Bless these grandmothers. Bless them, oh Lord, with Your strength, Your power, Your ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We seek you, Lord. We call upon your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.